Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Money Smarts for You. Enhance your lifestyle by taking the positive path towards managing your money.
Welcome. I'm Barbie O'Connor, your host for the Money Smarts for You show. After years of working with clients, helping them save, preserve, and grow their assets, I wrote the book Money Smarts for You, The Basics. I wanted teens, millennials, growing families, and others to have a chance to learn the essentials that everyone needs to know about money in their adult lives. This show is your chance to ask me about the financial topics that affect your everyday life. If you have questions or thoughts about what you'd like to hear about on future shows, feel free to email me at Barbie, B-A-R-B-I-E, at moneysmartsforyou.com. Our theme in April is understanding investments. After going over different types of investments, financial ratios, taxes related to investments, and investment objectives, today I'll go into detail about investment discipline terminology you need to understand. I hope these April shows will be helpful to you as you manage your retirement funds and other personal assets. If you followed my recommendations found in my book, Money Smarts for You, The Basics, available on Amazon, by now you have a spending plan that you can afford. You've saved your initial nest egg of $1,000, and you've started to accumulate cash equal to 6 to 9 months of expenses for your emergency fund. Your nest egg and your emergency fund should be invested in government-insured short-term savings accounts or government-insured money market funds. I hope you're participating in an employee stock purchase plan as well as a retirement plan like a 401k or 403b, something like that, and that you find the financial world more understandable than before. Understanding the terminology that I will go over today can help you better understand what you are doing with your money and help you make better decisions about your future choices of how you invest your money. When you talk with an investment advisor or hear a presentation from a money manager, there are terms you will hear that they may or may not explain to you. Today, I will do my best to present these terms in a way that makes sense to you while you're in the process of developing your portfolio of investment assets. 1. Diversification. You may already know this term since it means don't put all your eggs in one basket. This was borne out when Enron failed and most of the employees lost most of their pension money because it was invested in the company's stock. I can think of many times when clients of mine wanted to put all their retirement money into the company's stock, but I had to discourage them from doing so. The company stock purchase plan is one way to invest, but to have your IRA, your 401k, and any other retirement plan in the company's stock too is just too much. Individuals are better off diversifying their retirement into something besides company stock, if that choice exists, because there is less risk with careful diversification than having everything in one asset. 2. Asset allocation. This is a cousin of diversification in that it is a method employed in creating a portfolio that divides your money into different asset classes. Asset classes include common stock, fixed income, and cash. One technique managers use to decide how to divide your assets is a proportionate method. This would be where you might have 60% of your assets in common stock and 40% in fixed income. An example of this is a simple technique used by managers when constructing a made-to-order portfolio for a client, and that would be to subtract their age from 100 to determine the equity proportion and the fixed income proportion of the portfolio. If you were 30 years old, you would take 100, subtract your age of 30, which leaves you with 70, meaning that you would put 70% of your money in equities and 30% in fixed income. The rationale is that if you are 30, you have more time to experience the growth potential of equities, as well as the risk in equities. If you're older, say 80 years of age, then you would take 100, subtract 80 from it, and that would equal 20, interpreted as 20% of your portfolio would be allocated to equities and the remaining 80% in fixed income to provide income for what is presumed to be your retirement years, years during which you need less risk and more cash flow and preservation of capital. In addition to proportionate asset allocation, using a constant ratio or percentage of stocks to bonds, there's also constant dollar allocation, where the dollar amount of stocks is maintained at one level, and that in bonds at one level, and when the portfolio is evaluated at regular intervals, the dollar amounts are returned to the original levels with the profits generated going into a money market fund to be there when more stocks or bonds need to be purchased to maintain the constant dollar allocation. For example, if you have a portfolio of $100,000 and you decide to use the constant dollar approach, then you might start with $60,000 in stocks and $40,000 in bonds. When you review your portfolio regularly, say every quarter, then if the dollar amount in stocks has grown to $65,000 and the bonds are still at $40,000, then you would take profit in your stock portfolio, moving the extra $5,000 to a money market fund, leaving you with the original amounts of $60,000 in stocks and $40,000 in bonds. This is akin to going to Las Vegas with a certain amount of money, say $1,000, and when your winnings grow to $1,200, you put the $200 in your wallet and keep playing with $1,000. The money market fund serves as your wallet in this example. Another asset allocation philosophy is called strategic allocation, and this is basically determined by the overall management strategy of deciding which way the economy is going and the industries and assets that will perform best based on those suppositions. I'll talk a bit more about this in just a minute, so stay with me here, please. 3, rebalancing. When you use target percentages or constant ratios for each of your asset classes, or constant dollar allocation, usually you also agree to a regular discipline of evaluating your portfolio. Whether it is quarterly, semi-annually, or yearly, this discipline is what can allow you to take profits where you have them, reevaluate the strategy that is driving your portfolio, and make changes based on changes in the economy. This rebalancing, as it's called, is a strategy most active managers employ. 4, passive or active management. If you do not manage your own portfolio, then the management style you pick will determine what type of manager you employ, or whether you opt for management at all. Whenever you purchase a mutual fund, you are paying a small fee for an active manager. The same may or may not be true for an exchange-traded fund, since some do employ a manager to provide active management, while others, like index funds, utilize passive management. Remember that when you opt for active management, you are hoping the manager will beat the benchmark index that is closest to his or her management style. Keep that in mind when you are evaluating a manager or making a selection of a manager. Although past performance is no indication of future performance, most likely if there have not been a lot of changes in staff and personnel, a fund manager's results will be fairly representative of their work over time. There is always the exception to the rule, however. If you decide to go with a passive management style, then you just need to find an index fund that is proportionally composed of the stocks that make up the index that you are interested in, like, for example, the S&P 500, which is composed of the 500 stocks that make up the Standard & Poor's 500 index. 5, growth management. If you decide to go with a growth management style, then the manager will focus on the earnings growth of the companies he or she selects, looking for ones that are growing faster than others, with the hope that the stock prices will go up faster than those of other stocks. Traditionally, a growth manager will purchase stocks near their 52-week or historic highs, reaching for that increase they believe will come over time. 6, value management. A value manager is one that looks for bargains, companies, or industries that are out of favor or undervalued. Usually, these managers will purchase stocks with prices that are low in relation to their earnings, with a low price-earnings ratio. Remember, I talked about that last week. In addition, these managers might find stocks that are priced low in comparison to their book value, which is the actual value of the company on the books, to be attractive as well. In other words, they would find a company that is priced low compared to its book value to be an attractive candidate for value management as well. The stocks in these portfolios are often purchased close to their 52-week or historic low price range. 7, defensive industries. When you hear a newscaster or money manager refer to defensive stocks, they are not talking about those that are involved in the business of the military. They are referring to companies that are the ones least affected by the economy and the business cycle that may be up, down, or sideways. Companies that are in the food, tobacco, energy, drugs, and medical industries are the ones that are going to fit into the category of defensive industries. The theory here is that everyone eats food, uses energy for electricity and transportation, takes medications and drugs to cure illness or treat chronic physical problems, and if they use tobacco products, have a hard time quitting, therefore leading to consistent use of tobacco. These are products that people all over the world use day in and day out. During economic decline, stocks in these companies may go down in value less than those in other industries. During a strong market, however, they will not go up as much as others. 8, cyclical industries. These are companies that are sensitive to the business cycle, and they tend to go up and down with the economy. Steel, automobiles, heavy machinery, and durable goods are subject to the cycles of the economy. The prices of stocks in these industries will go up when the economy is booming and down when the economy is in a recession. During a recession, people don't buy these products and businesses don't purchase new equipment. 9, growth industries. These are industries that are just past the new beginning phase of the business cycle, and they are growing faster than the economy overall, most likely because they've developed a new product or are a major influence on consumer habits with their new service or product. Cell phone companies, companies like Apple Computer, those are companies that are examples of growth industries. Growth industries are usually putting all their money back into their companies and as a result do not pay much, if any, dividends. Number 10, the rule of 72. This is a handy calculation to know in order to figure out how quickly you may be able to double your money. If you're looking at a fixed income investment that pays you 6% on your money, then you would divide the number 72 by the interest rate that investment pays. In this case, you would divide it by the number 6, and it will tell you the number of years it will take you to double your money, which in this case is 12 years. You can also do the calculation in reverse to find out what rate of return you need to obtain in order to double your money over a particular number of years. Let's say you have $1,000 and you want to double it in 8 years. Then you divide the number 72 by the number 8, the number of years, and it will give you the number 9, which means that you have to find an investment that will pay you 9% in order to double your money in 8 years. 11, risk-reward ratio. Remember, when you're evaluating investments, the greater the potential rate of return, the greater the potential risk. It is important to learn about the market before you actively invest, so you will know when someone who wants to manage your money is promising you a return that may not be realistic. In today's interest rate market, rates are very low, with 1% to 2% being considered a great rate of return on a fixed income investment with the goal of capital preservation. If you are approached by a money manager promising you an 8% or 10% return with a guarantee that your principal will be protected, run, do not walk to the nearest exit, and make sure you take your money with you. Remember, the higher the rate of return, the greater the risk, especially if it is far and away much, much greater than what the real market is offering you. As you know, there are all kinds of risk in the marketplace, from systemic risk, which can't be helped by diversification. That's when the overall market is in decline due to economic factors. In addition, there is unsystemic risk, also known as business risk, and that may pertain to a specific company that may fail due to bad management or to a specific industry where all are affected at the same time, such as, right now, oil companies. When the price of oil dropped dramatically, most of the oil stocks dropped as well. Diversification can help mitigate the losses due to business risk, but with not all the money invested in the same company or the same industry. So, Keep in mind that diversification can help you if you're dealing with the issue of business risk by being invested in many different industries and many different companies. But if the market overall goes down, then systemic risk comes into play, and it can cause your portfolio to drop as well. But don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's the time when you need to step back and say, wait a minute, is there something I've been wanting to buy, and is this a good time to buy it? 12, creating a paper portfolio or your own imaginary portfolio. Since we're at the end of April and my shows covering investments are ending this month, this week, this is the last show on investments for this month, I challenge you to create your own paper portfolio. And when I first started in the financial services industries, I instructed clients how to set up a portfolio on paper with a made-up amount of money that they would manage on their own for 3 to 6 months to get the feel for the emotions, the decisions, and the effort involved in making investment decisions. Nowadays, with computers and mobile phones, and with so many free apps, it is easy to create your own portfolio that you can follow each day without having to pick up a pen or a piece of paper. The only thing that might be difficult to do is to record your purchase price on your model portfolio. So this may be something you would like to do on paper. Start with a budget of $100,000 and then decide how you want to manage your money. If you choose to make the decisions yourself, then select companies that interest you, your family, and your friends. Keep in mind your need for income, diversification, and meeting your investment objectives. Remember, income, income and growth, or capital preservation. Once you decide what your objectives are, then figure out your target asset allocation and what method you will use. So, once you decide that your investment objective is, say, income, then you'll need to figure out how much do you put in stocks, how much or equities, how much you put in fixed income, and how much you may want to leave accessible in cash. Okay. Select your companies and your industries, and then buy the stocks that interest you and the bonds that are appropriate for your risk tolerance. Again, we're doing all this with imaginary money, and we're trying to give you a chance to get the feel for that whole process of making the decision, buying the stocks, and living with the consequences. Log in your purchase price on your portfolio sheet, and then daily or weekly check the stock and bond prices via the internet. There are some phone apps that will show you the minute-by-minute stock price of your paper or imaginary portfolio. During this 3 to 6 month time period, pay attention to your emotions and how you make decisions. When a stock soars, do you feel exuberant? How have you decided when it is time to take profits? Did you set a target appreciation? In other words, if the stock goes up 20%, did you take into account taxes? How have you decided when you will take losses? Are you following a discipline? Are you rebalancing? Are you evaluating your portfolio regularly? Are you considering the tax consequences of your trading decisions? Once you are through the first 6 months, you may be ready to try this on your own, or you may be ready and eager to select a manager to do this decision-making for you. Use what you have learned from this experiment as you evaluate managers and make your selection. Remember that managing money may look like a science because of all the numbers, but it really is an art. I hope through these April broadcasts, I was able to help you better understand the basics of investment. I also hope you feel a sense of excitement, pride of ownership, and involvement in our capitalist system, and an interest in your investment that goes beyond the money involved and gives meaning to your financial life. Thank you for joining me today for the Money Smarts for You show. Please email me your questions or thoughts to Barbie@moneysmartsforyou.com. That's Barbie at moneysmarts4u.com. And we will cover them in future shows. Take care of your money to take care of yourself.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more at moneysmartsforyou.com. Like us on Facebook, buy the book on Amazon, and remember to subscribe to the show.